Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday morning, October 15th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host, and this is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of prayers and a devotion each morning. This was driven by the idea of sharing part of my morning routine with you each morning to assist you and to keep myself being more and more in the Word of God and in prayer, which all of us need for absolutely. I mean, I know people that are constantly in the Word and they still feel like they need to be more in the world or in the Word. And it is definitely, wow, what a Floydian slip there. I'm sorry. That's a family joke. Because in the crazy world we're in, we all need more and more to be in the Word of God to keep us walking a godly path that's critical, and it's very, very difficult in the world we live in. So we'll go ahead and get going with that. Links for everything I'm going to read are in the show notes. There are also links to hard copies of the resources I'm reading from. I would definitely encourage you to get the hard copies. We have all of them, but the Legacy Standard Bible, which is on order for us now. But definitely encourage you to get hard copies of them. We do not know what's going to happen with the internet and with power and with everything else, as crazy as this world is. If you got the hard copies, they can't take them away from you, because you never know what they might pull from you and make unavailable, as they've been trying to do the last couple of years. So definitely would encourage you to get a hard copy. There's even a link in there for you to go out and find Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan, which you read from. So let me go ahead and tell you. Our prayers come from the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. They are very, very, very awesome. No, this is not some kind of weird catechism or trying to force you into legalism or anything like that. These just happen to be a collection of prayers that are from very, very, very godly men, and they've become very helpful to me and many others I know, in helping us to get in a prayerful state of mind. So I read from them. I've been doing this for years, and so I'm sharing it with you. We also read from a morning devotion of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We read the morning devotion for each day. Then we also are going to be reading again, using Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan. It's Read the Bible in a Year plan. We're going to be reading from it, whatever the reading is for that day. And we're reading in the Legacy Standard Bible, because it is the most text at this time, it is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts we have of the original documentation. So that's why we read from those. And again, like I said, I'm going to have copies of those links in the show notes, and I will let you know there will be a surprise in the show notes. Well, I've talked about it before. I'm sitting here drinking my coffee, my Black Rifle Just Decaf coffee, and oh, it is so good. And I'm sorry you didn't want to listen to me slurp, but I'm again drinking from it from my Wayneian cup. And I'm going to post a picture in the show notes of the Wayneian cup, because I've described it to you, but I figured I would post a picture for you this morning in the show notes, so you'll get to see the Wayneian. Let's see, what else do we have to say? Oh, my wife and I were incredibly blessed last evening. The pastor of the church we've been attending, we've only attended twice over the last 4 weeks, and God willing, we'll be attending tomorrow. They invited us over this last week, invited us over for dinner. And so we got to go over and got to get to know his wife and his children and spend time with them and get to know them and them to know us. And they may be regretting knowing us, but it was wonderful. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. Pastor Jay and I had a good conversation, and don't know yet, and prayerfully considering something he and I discussed. And so there may be a new chapter. Well, there's obviously going to be some new chapter, but a new chapter in my ministry going forward. Not that it'll take away from doing this, but there may be something new that he and I have discussed and he would really like me to take up. And so I will keep you apprised as we move forward with this. Still looking to get back to going to seminary, and we'll see how that goes. But definitely something I'm considering. It would be a ministry of at-risk people, but I won't go any further. And so he and I are discussing it, and something I'd never thought of. And when he brought it up, just something hit me, and it was like, you know what? This may be where you need to go. So we will let you know. Doesn't mean we're moving or anything like that. It's not that kind of thing. And not that you really care, because you're listening to me on a podcast. So you don't really have any care of where I actually am. So, but anyway, so I will keep you apprised of that. So like I said, there may be a new chapter coming in my ministry. So we'll see about that. I would also encourage you, because it is Saturday, it is the Lord's Day Eve, which we'll be reading the Lord's Day Eve prayer from Valley of Vision as one of our four prayers we're going to read this morning. I would encourage you, if you are physically capable, get in a solid church, be in a solid church tomorrow. Tonight or tomorrow. I mean, if they worship on Saturday night, you'd be there Saturday night. If they worship on Sunday morning, Sunday night, be there then. Definitely want to encourage you to do so. It is definitely a need, not a want, a need for us to be there and for us to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, for us to worship together. That's where we're fed. We are fed at church. And we are called to feed. We are called to be fed, to be where we are, to be fed. I would absolutely agree with many, 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 and I think of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, but many others have said the primacy of preaching. They speak about the primacy of preaching, that God uses means to accomplish his work in people. And the primary mean is the preaching of the gospel, is the preaching of the word of God. And you need to be under it. We need to be under it. I need to be under it. And it's gotten to the point, it kills me when I miss. It drives me nuts. That's not what should be happening. I should be sitting under the word. I know it can be hard to find, especially in this day and age, to find a solid church. I've mentioned them before. Founders Ministry. Great church finder there. You will get 100 times out of 100, as far as I know, a great solid church. Master Seminary also has one. Find people who've graduated Master Seminary. And so far that I've come across there, it's really, really, it would be really, really hard, if not impossible, to find somebody coming out of Master Seminary that is not a solid, solid preacher. So please find one near you. I get it. If it's not really close and gas prices are high, there are many out there that are driving an hour or more one way to get to church. It is that important. Excuse me. Wow, I've been really froggy this week. But please get in the word. Please get into church. We need it. The preaching, the being in the word of God, the being in prayer. Those three are the three critical means, with preaching being the most important, but the other two are super close right behind it. So don't think I'm belittling any of them. We've got to be in them. We need them to drive us for a more Christian walk, and even for the unsaved that are listening, to bring us to a point where the Holy Spirit's ready to work in us, to bring us to a saving faith in Christ. And the saving faith is critical. You need to understand, as I've said before, I'm going to say it again, 10 out of 10 people die, and 10 out of 10 people face judgment. And the Bible is very, very clear. Not one of us facing judgment will be successful in answering to God on our own merits, on our own, quote, righteousness. We are not righteous, no matter what good deeds we think we've done. They are as filthy rags. We are sinful from birth. We are sinful in the womb. coming out. I think it was David that said that, King David. We are sinful in the womb. We are sinful to the day we die. It is only by the grace of God that we are anything else. It is only by the saving faith in Christ that we are anything else. You know, you've got to understand this. There is no one you look at out there that you might consider to be saved, that is saved by their own works, that is saved by their own righteousness, because they're not righteous. We're not righteous. None of us are. You need the gospel. You need Christ Jesus. You need saving faith in him. That is the only thing, because you will face eternity. We will face eternity. And we either face it with Jesus Christ as our advocate, therefore draping us in his righteous robes, therefore we getting to live an eternal life in heaven in the light of he and our Father, or an eternity in hell. And it will not be a party. It is going to be an eternity facing the wrath of God. And believe me, as bad as you think your life may be now, and as bad as you think something that you've dealt with may have affected you and may have hurt you, it is nothing, nothing. It is infinitesimal compared to facing the wrath of God. So I would beg you to come to a saving faith in Christ. I would beg you to come to that point of humility and be on your knees begging God to send the Holy Spirit to do a work in you and bring you to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go ahead and get on with our reading this morning. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make a shift over that way, but we do need to get going. But I wanted to get that out there. You need to be saved. We need to be saved. Every one of us needs to be saved. And I say this because I love you. I love you, and I say this because I do. I want you to be saved. There's not one out there that I don't want to be saved. All right. Let's do our reading. We're going to do our prayers first. We've got our four prayers this morning. As is our practice, our first two are going to be resting on God and grace and trials. That's their names. I read them every morning. They help put me, phone ringing. Nice. They put me in the appropriate place. They remind me that while I am weak, God is strong. And I rest in his hands. So resting on God in grace and trials. And then we'll do our seventh day morning prayer, our morning prayer for the seventh day of the week, and the Lord's Day Eve prayer. So resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond. Thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me. for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, and Seventh-day Morning Prayer, it's God's good pleasure. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. And Lord's Day Eve. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved. In my going out, in my coming in, thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book, which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all success one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O Lord, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. Okay, grab a sip of coffee here. All right, morning, October 15th article of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for that is Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. His first coming was without external pomp or show of power, and yet in truth there were few who could abide its testing might. Herod and all Jerusalem with him were stirred at the news of the wondrous birth. Those who supposed themselves to be waiting for him showed the fallacy of their professions by rejecting him when he came. His life on earth was a winnowing fan, which tried the great heap of religious profession, and few enough could abide the process. But what will his second advent be? What sinner can endure to think of it? He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. When in his humiliation he did but say to the soldiers, "I am he," they fell backward. What will be the terror of his enemies when he shall more fully reveal himself as the I am? His death shook earth and darkened heaven. What shall be the dreadful splendor of that day in which, as the living Savior, he shall summon the quick and the dead before him? Oh, that the terrors of the Lord would persuade men to forsake their sins and kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Though a lamb, he is yet the lion of the tribe of Judah, rending the prey in pieces. And though he breaks not the bruised reed, yet will he break his enemies with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. None of his foes shall bear up before the tempest of his wrath, or hide themselves from the sweeping hail of his indignation. But his beloved blood-washed people look for his appearing with joy, and hope to abide it without fear. To them he sits as a refiner even now, and when he has tried them, they shall come forth as gold. Let us search ourselves this morning and make our calling and election sure, so that the coming of the Lord may cause no dark forebodings in our mind. Oh, for grace to cast away all hypocrisy, and to be found of him sincere, and without rebuke in the day of his appearing. All right. And our reading for this morning, we're going to start in 1 Kings 18. Our reading is 1 Kings 18, 1 Thessalonians 1, Ezekiel 48, and Psalm 104. Now it happened after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly, and it happened that when Jezebel was cutting down the prophets of Yahweh, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave, and sustained them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive, and not have to cut down some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now it happened that as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" And he said to him, "It is I. Go, say to your master, 'Behold, Elijah is here.'" And he said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As Yahweh your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And if they said, 'He is not here,' he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, 'Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.' And it will be that when I leave you, the spirit of Yahweh will carry you where I do not know. And I will come and tell Ahab, and he will not find you, and he will kill me, although I, your servant, have feared Yahweh from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Yahweh, that I hid 100 prophets of Yahweh by fifties in a cave and sustained them with bread and water? So now you are saying, 'Go say to your master, behold, Yahweh, Elijah is here. He will then kill me.' And Elijah said, 'As Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today.' So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is this you, you troubler of Israel?' And he said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have because you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, and you have followed the Baals. So now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent a messenger, So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you be limping between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, and cut it up, and place it on the wood, but place no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox, and put it on the wood, and I will not place fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people answered and said, "That is a good word." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but place no fire under it." Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped about the altar which they had made. Now it happened at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he is God. Either he is occupied or relieving himself, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened." So they cried with a loud voice and gashed themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. Now it happened when noon had passed that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of Yahweh, which had been pulled down. Then Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and placed it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. Now it happened at the time of the offering of the evening feast that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your slave, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Yahweh, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again." Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it and fell on their faces and said, "Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the tumult of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he stretched himself down toward the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his young man, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back 7 times." Now it happened at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the rain does not stop you." Now it happened that in a little while the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. But the hand of Yahweh was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab unto where you enter Jezreel. All right, and now 1 Thessalonians 1, first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing knowing, brothers beloved by God, your election. For our gospel did not come to you in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of an entrance we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. All right, in Ezekiel 48, now these are the names of the tribes from the northern extremity beside the way of Hethlon to Lebo Hamath, as far as Hazar Enan, at the border of Damascus, toward the north, beside Hamath, running from east to west, Dan one portion, and beside the border of Dan from the east side to the west side, Asher one portion, and beside the border of Asher from the east side to the west side, Naphtali one portion, and beside the border of Naphtali from the east side to the west side, Manasseh one portion, and beside the border of Manasseh from the east side to the west side, Ephraim one portion, and beside the border of Ephraim from the east side to the west side, Reuben one portion, and beside the border of Reuben from the east side to the west side, Judah one portion, and beside the border of Judah from the east side to the west side shall be the contribution which you shall contribute, 25,000 cubits in width and in length like one of the portions from the east side to the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the middle of it. The contribution that you shall contribute to Yahweh shall be 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. And the holy contribution shall be for these, namely for the priests towards the north, 25,000 cubits in length, toward the west, 10,000 in width, toward the east, 10,000 in width, and towards the south, 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of Yahweh shall be in its midst. It shall be for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who have kept the responsibility given by me, who did not go astray when the sons of Israel went astray as the Levites went astray. And it shall be a contribution to them from the contribution of the land, a holy of holies, by the border of the Levites. Now alongside the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. The whole length shall be 25,000 cubits and the width 10,000. Moreover, they shall not sell or exchange any of it, or let this choice portion of land pass over to another, for it is holy to Yahweh. And the remainder, 5,000 cubits in width and 25,000 in length, shall be for common use for the city, for places of habitation and for open spaces. And the city shall be in its midst. And these shall be its measurements. The north side, 4,500 cubits. The south side, 4,500 cubits. The east side, 4,500 cubits. And the west side, 4,500 cubits. And the city shall have open spaces. On the north, 250 cubits. On the south, 250 cubits, and on the east, 250 cubits, and on the west, 250 cubits. And the remainder of the length alongside the holy contribution shall be 10,000 cubits toward the east and 10,000 towards the west, and it shall be alongside the holy contribution. And its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. The workers of the city out of all the tribes of Israel shall cultivate it. The whole contribution shall be 25,000 by 25,000 cubits. You shall contribute the holy contribution, a square with the city's possession of land, and the remainder shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other of the holy contribution, and of the city's possession of land, in front of the 25,000 cubits of the contribution, toward the east border, and westward in front of the 25,000, toward the west border, alongside the portions. Alongside the portions, it shall be for the prince, and the holy contribution and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst of it, in the middle of it, excuse me, and apart from the Levites' possession and the city's possession, which are in the middle of that which belongs to the prince, everything between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall be for the prince. Now, as for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west side, Benjamin one portion, and beside the border of Benjamin from the east side to the west side, Simeon one portion, and beside the border of Simeon from the east side to the west side, Issachar one portion, and beside the border of Issachar from the east side to the west side, Zebulun one portion. And beside the border of Zebulun from the east side to the west side, Gad one portion. And beside the border of Gad at the south side toward the south, the border shall be from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, to the great sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for an inheritance, and these are their several portions, declares Lord Yahweh. And these are the exits of the city. On the north side, 4,500 cubits by measurement, and the gates of the city shall be named for the tribes of Israel. Three gates towards the north, the gate of Reuben, one the gate of Judah, one the gate of Levi, one. And on the east side, 4,500 cubits, shall be three gates, the gate of Joseph, one, the gate of Benjamin, one, the gate of Dan, one. And on the south side, 4,500 cubits by measurement, shall be the three gates, the gate of Simeon, one, the gate of Issachar, one, the gate of Zebulun, one. On the west side, 4,500 cubits, shall be three gates, the gate of Gad, one, the gate of Asher, one, the gate of Naphtali, one. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh is there. And Psalm 104. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, O Yahweh my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, wrapping yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out the heavens like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He sets up the clouds to be his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes his angels the winds, his ministers flaming fire. He founded the earth upon its place, so that it will not shake forever and ever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they hurried away in alarm. The mountains went up, the valleys went down, to the place which you founded for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. He sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They give water to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Above them the birds of the heavens dwell. They give forth their voices among the branches. He gives water to the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and vegetation for man's cultivation, to bring forth food from the earth, and wine which makes man's heart glad, to make his face glisten more than oil, and food which sustains man's heart. The trees of Yahweh are satisfied, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds build their nests, the stork's home is in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the cliffs are a refuge for the Shephanim. He made the moon for the seasons, the sun knows the place of its setting. You appoint darkness so that it becomes night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar to go after their prey, and to seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together, and lie down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work, and to his labor until evening. How numerous are your works, O Yahweh! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This is the sea, great and broad. There the creeping things are without number, creatures both small and great. There the ships move along, and Leviathan, which you have formed to play in it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they breathe their last, and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Let the glory of Yahweh endure forever. Let Yahweh be glad in his works. He looks at the earth, and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to Yahweh throughout my life. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my musing be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in Yahweh. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Praise Yah. Amen. That is our reading for today. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Again, I would encourage you, please find a solid church and be in church tomorrow morning, God willing. My wife and I will definitely be, God willing. We've been, again, been making doing the work all week to make sure that nothing comes up that keeps it from being in church tomorrow morning. We would definitely encourage you to be there. Continue to pray for those impacted by Ian. I know they are still in a great deal of places trying to still dig themselves out and figure out what's broken and get it fixed and stand stuff back up. So we definitely need to continue to pray for them. We definitely need to continue to pray for our country. We're under the wrath of God. We are under judgment. Especially our country is under judgment. That's the only way you can see what's going on out there. It's very, very clear that God has pulled back his hand and removed common grace, at least in some part, to show this, so that he be glorified, as weird as that sounds, for him to be glorified. So we need to pray for revival. We need a revival. As I've said before, there's no amount of legislation that's going to fix what's going on. We need revival. That is the only thing that will fix it. So let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for having this time together this morning, for being able to spend this time in your word. Dear Lord, we would pray that this time in prayer and devotion and in your word would hedge up our ways, would lift us up, would equip us and edify us, and make it so that we truly will walk out there as imitators of you and as imitators of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, our world so much needs the light. We need revival, Lord, and we would definitely pray for revival in this country. That is the only thing that is going to fix this. You're very clear about that, and it's very, very obvious, Lord. And so, Lord, we do pray for that revival. Dear Lord, we also still pray for those who have been impacted by Ian. Again, we pray for their physical well-being, but most importantly, we pray for their spiritual well-being, that in this time of trial, revival would come. Dear Lord, please watch over us as we go away from this, from our listening, again, so that we would truly walk as Christians. And dear Lord, if it is your will, help us to be able to come back together tomorrow and spend this time in the Word, spend time in the Word again. And Lord, that we would be able to faithfully attend worship with your saints. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you go have yourself a wonderful day, and God willing, we'll get back together tomorrow morning for another episode. You take care of yourself, and may God bless.